I brought you some snacks.
Okay.
Let's break them out.
Yeah, snacks!
Since we're talking about school stuff, snacks seem like super appropriate. It's snack time at school here.
Field pea fritter, made at the Commonwealth Kitchen.
And Commonwealth Kitchen is an incubator in the Dorchester neighborhood of Boston, and they are an incubator business.
Does that mean they raise baby chicks?
I'm so sorry. So the Commonwealth Kitchen is a business incubator in the Dorchester neighborhood of Boston.
I was born.
Where a lot of my family still currently lives and where I grew up.
So they have been working on this. The field pea fritter is a product that is utilizing northeast grown field peas, which are normally a cover crop that are, you know, turned back into the soil. But instead of being only for cover crop, they're harvested and combined and then used in lieu of a chickpea in order to make this falafel fritter that is using northeast grown foods and manufactured here in Massachusetts for schools.
Let's eat one and then we'll talk about what we're talking about.
They're great cold. They're great warm. We use it as a falafel in our school meals. And then we also put them on our salad bar as a protein option for our vegans. They're also gluten-free.
These are awesome.
They're awesome. You put a little tahini on this? You wouldn't know any difference between this and any... Did you bring tahini?
No, actually, because we don't serve anything with tahini in the public... Well, in our public schools because of sesame allergies. So we actually make our own hummus using sun butter. And so I brought you some of our fresh Hampton hummus.
Now I feel bad because I'm kind of double dipping because I already took a bite out of this.
I'm just going to use the part I didn't bite.
You're fine.
And I would say Mistel, as the nutrition director in Northampton, is one of many of the nutrition directors around the state that are really keening into the number of allergens that are really prevalent and coming up with creative ways to make sure that all kids are able to eat school food safely. Mm. We have universal free meals in Massachusetts, and we're seeing that opportunity really allow schools to elevate the amount of local foods that they're purchasing as well.
Well, now that we've stuffed our faces with field pea falafel here, let's get down to the real work of what we're here to talk about. It's time for another Local Hero Spotlight with Claire Morneau from CESA and a returning guest, Abby Getman-Skillicorn, who is the Special Projects Manager for Massachusetts Farm to School. It is Massachusetts Farm to School Month. And from the Northampton Public Schools, we've got Mistel Hanna, who's the School Nutrition Director, who's given us these wonderful field pea falafel.
Is it terrible that I still want to call you our favorite advocacy Pokemon?
Oh, yeah, because Abby Getman-Skillicorn sounds like it could be a Pokemon name.
I will take that. That might need to be my Halloween costume this year.
Yeah. Take it. Take it. Run with it. It's yours.
Thank you.
Abby, we have had you on before, but tell us what Massachusetts Farm to School is and does.
Thanks, Monty, and thanks, Khalees, for having us. We are delighted to be celebrating Massachusetts Farm to School Month, and as an organization, we're an over 20-year-old organization that works to strengthen our communities, local farms and fisheries, by supporting more local foods in schools and more education about growing food and eating food here in Massachusetts.
How are we doing?
We're doing really well.
I think we
have
had you on about a year ago. And yeah, and it's been a tough time for making sure people have enough to eat, especially when you're trying to do this in a public school setting, one of our great socialist endeavors in the United States of America.
I'm not going to participate in this interview. I'm just going to eat all the snacks.
You keep eating. But how is Massachusetts doing, and how is it doing compared to maybe other states?
Yeah, I would say that Massachusetts is doing well. We are really proud of the fact that we have universal free meals, and that initiative has really leveled the playing field for all schools and eaters so that kids aren't facing a stigma by going through the lunch line in order to select their options. And I think if anything, the cuts at the federal level have really bolstered a lot of support here statewide. So we currently have an active bill in the state legislature that would establish a farm to school program, which Senator Comerford, Senator Gomez, and Senator Oliveira and Rep Duffy have really championed. That bill would really codify the farm to school grant program, of which Northampton Public Schools has received some funding for, as well as establish a local food incentive so that schools would receive a rebate on investments in local food purchases that they make for their meal programs. So last month, Senate members of the Education Committee unanimously passed this bill out of the Education Committee, and House members are still considering the bill. So fortunately, here in Western Mass, most of our delegation has really rallied and and really supported this initiative. What we would say is call your state representatives and thank them for their support and really encourage them to get this bill passed so it can pass this session.
Are there members of the delegation that aren't supporting it in the Western Mass?
In Western Mass, Senator Vilas and Senator Mark haven't signed on. But again, since it's the bill's already passed the Senate, we just have to get it through the House. And we have a really strong support from our Western Mass delegation.
Interesting.
It sounds like the school equivalent of HIP, actually.
Yes. And I would say, if anything, it's like both the school equivalent of HIP and SNAP education, because the Farm to School grant program really allows schools to apply for funds to develop more professional development for their school kitchen staff, you know, knife skills training, scalable recipes, incorporating local foods, or let's add some hydroponics program, you know, and hydroponics towers to our schools, or getting students out on farm field trips like Springfield and Holyoke have been doing with the Western Mass Food Bank.
Is it terrible that I'm horrified just by the thought of, like, you have people working in kitchens with no knife skills? What?
Well, I would say that, you know, we experience the realities of having eliminated certain things from our public education, like cooking education. Mm-hmm. And fair. I think that many folks might have home cooking skills, and to be able to really use...
It's a different muscle.
It's a different muscle, and being able to use knives safely for longer periods of time, or being able to scale recipes to, instead of feeding 4 people, 400 people, can be really different. And yeah. So I think investing in that professional development education for our school nutrition staff, they're professionals. They should receive training so they can do what they're doing really well. And
agreed.
We've seen that investment, you know, pulling in folks from Project Bread or the John Stocker Institute to do that on-site cooking training with staff to be really instrumental. We've also seen funds used to do early literacy programs with teachers, you know, getting all the teachers together to do a read aloud, you know, session and train the trainer on how they can, you know, weave through lessons from a book that they might be reading with their preschoolers, like here in Holyoke, Chicopee, Springfield, Head Start, and then actually building a container garden with their kiddos, and then getting to sample and eat those herbs that their kids are growing in their classroom. So, you know, it's a multifunctional grant that's not exclusive to just one section. We realize Farm to School is really a holistic methodology that needs the classroom, the cafeteria, and the community to be really successful. And I think Northampton really does that well.
That's Abby Getman-Skillicorn, who's Special Projects Manager for Massachusetts Farm to School. It is Farm to School Month. And as Abby mentioned, we're joined by Ms. Stel Hanna, who's the School Nutrition Director from Northampton Public Schools, and who's received some of these grants, and who's brought us this incredible field pea falafel. How's it going eating all that with the hummus, Cleese?
Not putting mouse sounds into the
bag. Oh, now you've got now carrots here as well, which I'm going to dig into while you tell us, Ms. Stel, how you're collaborating with both CESA and Massachusetts Farm to School and using some of these grants to get farm fresh stuff into the mouths of kids in the Northampton Public School system.
Yes, well, we are very grateful to be recipients of the Mass Fresh Grant in that we've worked really hard to kind of integrate those three C's that Abby was speaking of, the community, classroom, cafeteria, into
and
our
carrots.
District. And carrots. Those are Hadley carrots from Joe Sikowski's farm.
Sikowski, another C.
And so as far as like bringing for the cafeteria, we are doing monthly taste tests with our students that align with the Harvest of the Month from Mass Farm to School. And so students are really kind of expressing their voices and choices about what they want to see on the menu when they're trying these new foods. And then we implement it onto the menu. A popular one was a ham, spinach, and apple wrap. So the spinach and apples were local. They tested it out. Now it's a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
In the classroom, we were able to launch our Fresh Kids programming, which is quite unique. It's along with School Sprouts. So every elementary school student gets in-class nutrition education, essentially, with hands-on developing recipes with local food. So even down to kindergartners, they're making tea bags and herb satchels. And then the upper grades kind of do a transitional recipe. So they grind wheat into flour. They make dough. And then we have been just recently collecting all of the tomatoes from the school gardens and freezing them. And so they'll be processing them into tomato sauce for their pizzas along the way in the winter.
Fun.
And in the end, they make their own pizza. We established some great connections within the community. We work closely with Grow Food Northampton. And so they enable field trips both in the fall and the spring for all of our students. And so they're really really learning about where their food's coming from. They're getting hands-on in there with the compost. They're growing food, seeing how climate change has affected our local farmers firsthand. And so that's been great. And then we're also just launching this year through that funding an internship program for both our middle school and high school student where they're going to learn about hydroponic growing. We're able to purchase grow towers from Pork Farms. And so they will be growing seed starts for lettuce and that will go directly into the cafeteria for their own salad.
Boy, I would have loved to learn hydroponic growing when I was in school. Just like I learned glass blowing. What other things could we translate it to? Who knows? But for now, it's about farm to school. And it's happening in Northampton and all across the Commonwealth.
And some lessons learned, I would say, Monty, back to your earlier question about how is Massachusetts doing. One of the devastating cuts we experienced recently with the federal government was they canceled the Local Food for Schools program. And when Massachusetts received that funding initially in 2023, we had $3.5 million, which schools like Northampton and, you know, Springfield, Chicopee, Holyoke, others used that money to buy local foods. And statewide, what we saw, while the definition allowed for any purchases within 400 miles to count as a local purchase, 67% of funds, school nutrition directors around the state decided we want these dollars to stay in Massachusetts. So that was, you know, over $2.5 million that was really staying here in Massachusetts with Massachusetts carrots, like, you know, you're sampling today. Mm-hmm. We definitely saw local ground meat, you know, direct from farmers. Local fish was another element that folks were adding to the menu. So not just your apples or carrots, but school nutrition directors, you know, adding local cheese, different things depending on what their students really wanted to be seeing or what nutrition directors were identifying that would really elevate the quality of their meals. So, Mistel, do you want to tell us about some of the other local foods that you've decided to start purchasing regularly once you were able to try them out with your students?
So definitely. We started with the Hadley carrots. So we were buying baby carrots from our vendor, which they're okay, right? But these are so much better. Through using that funding, we decided we're going to still keep it. And so now we're just consistently building that relationship with our local farmer for local carrots consistently throughout the way. We also chose apples. Apples are very popular in schools. We serve apples every day. And so now we're buying all of our apples locally. And other things we started trying through that incentive was the Mighty Mill bagels. Students love them. And so while we don't do it as frequently as we were before, we still feature those bagels regularly.
And that's a stone ground organic bagel that's manufactured in Lynn using Northeast grown grains.
And that's Abby Getman-Skillicorn from Massachusetts Farm to School and Mistel Hanna from the Northampton Public Schools, the nutrition director. Claire Morneau from CESA. How does CESA get involved in Massachusetts Farm to School Month, which is this month?
CESA and the Mass Farm to School Project were founded by similar people. There was some overlap in terms of our founding. So I think Kelly Irwin was on CESA's board for a bunch of years. I would say that, you know, CESA and Mass Farm to School are two different ways of approaching a shared problem. Like, our actual ways of working don't overlap a ton, but we're both focused on how do we build a stronger local food system. And so for CESA, a lot of that work is about how do we encourage the general public to choose local food when they're at the grocery store? How do we encourage people to sign up for CSAs or go to the farmers market, that sort of thing? Mass Farm to School is focused on this entire other huge place that people eat food, which is schools. So, you know, we'll refer farms to each other and that sort of thing. But I would say that our core ways of working are kind of different, even though we're working on the same issues.
And in some ways, I would say CESA is a real partner to Mass Farm to School because of the very intimate ties with local farmers. The farms that are really looking to scale and do wholesale type delivery are good partners for a lot of schools. CESA is a much larger organization than Mass Farm to School, so some of the resources that they have in order to stay in touch with different producers in the area has really helped Mass Farm to School identify farms that could be good partners for different schools in their area.
Can I also say, are we an incubator ourselves?
I believe so.
So you're raising baby chicks as well.
Abby Getmore's
baby farms. We've seen two of them this year.
Abby herself is a former CESA staff person.
I'm a CESA alum. That's true.
And Mistel
was a former intern in my past life.
And CESA, again, is community involved in sustaining agriculture, if you don't know what that is. Yeah. We always say the local hero, folks. But yes, it has made major impacts and inroads into creating a stronger local food system.
The last time that we talked to you, it was when the federal cuts happened. And I was wondering if Claire or my favorite Pokemon, Miss Gillicorn, have noticed amongst farmers an impact similar to what happened when the hip cuts happened.
So what I will say is that some of the benefits of the Northeast Food for Schools program was that it introduced different wholesale food items to schools, and many of them have continued to source those items. Like, Mistel has switched to Hadley-grown carrots, period. Like, she's not getting any baby carrots. So that is a switch that she's been able to sustain because of universal free meals. What I will say is we saw a real challenge for the distributors. So the Worcester Food Hub, for example, did a lot of distribution for the Northeast Food for Schools program, and a lot of schools were really excited to partner with them as a distributor, and they work with over 50 farms to source the foods for those orders, and they have ceased their school sales this year because of the federal cuts. So we know that that's at least $1 million of local foods that was previously going to schools that is not getting there through that distributor.
There were cuts, not to move the conversation away from just schools, but there were also cuts to programs that were enabling food banks to purchase food directly from local farms. So between the cuts to both of those programs on both the food bank side and the farm to school side, we have heard from farms in our region who were planning on selling significant amounts of produce into either of those programs, who didn't have backup markets in place. You know, farms tend to be pretty adaptable, and the seasons vary so much from year to year in terms of how much they're going to produce, and they have to be flexible in terms of figuring out, like, oh, we're having a bumper crop of tomatoes this year, so where are we going to sell it? And I think many of them have adapted in the way that they always do, depending on the season. But I would say having, you know, millions of dollars that people were expecting to be able to sell their products into these two markets has definitely impacted some local farms.
And I'll say on another federal cut that I think is definitely impacting schools as well would be the SNAP education cut. So different schools partner, like here in Springfield, they partner with UMass Nutrition Extension to provide nutrition education classes to elementary school students. And with those SNAP education cuts, that's really undermined the ability for those programs to go into schools. That's where Mass Farm to School sees the importance of our Farm to School bill in infusing funds to allow those types of educational programs to continue. We know that putting a local carrot in front of a student isn't enough. We need to educate them about where it comes from and why that's important for our climate as well as for our economy. And we also know that it takes kids many times to try things before they decide that they like it. Sometimes past 10 times, it'll take for them to try something before they decide they like it. And when programs are able to do things like taste tests, they're growing adventurous eaters. And when kids are, you know, really enabled or really encouraged to take an I tried it bite, you know, time after time after time, by the time that they're going from kindergarten to first grade, they might actually be enjoying, you know, those things rather than just trying something to get a sticker or to be able to put a cube in a basket to tell them that they voted. And I think that that's where, you know, under Mistel's leadership, Northampton is one of the programs around the state that's doing a really great job implementing regular taste tests with students. And Mistel and Chicopee, along with our Department of Education, will be presenting at the National Farm to School Conference in New Mexico in December.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're excited. We're going to be presenting not only about our programs, but we're also going to be able to teach and support other schools across the country about how to implement and integrate a sustainable farm to school program. It's an exercise where we split up our audience into separate groups, and then we present them with the challenges that come up, where that being cost or labor. If you want a farm to school coordinator, how are you going to implement a new position and kind of give them the tasks of trying to work out those knots to kind of have a sustainable program?
You know, it takes a village to really figure these things out, and Ms. Dell will be joined by Brianna Jackson and Brian Jersky, yep, and I would also say Melanie from Chicopee. You know, they're doing really fabulous work and thinking creatively about how to make this programming happen and how to make it across the silos that can be built in our educational institution. So it's not just food service that's really trying to get these things done.
Yes.
Ms. Dell, is this your first time going to something like this and presenting at something like this?
We actually presented this very same thing at the Northeast Conference in Portland, Maine in April. We were just talking about that on the way here.
Nice.
And so, yeah, we're taking it on
the road. Because they all carpooled, by the way, which is great.
Yeah, we did. So, yeah, we're taking it on the road. We're going to New Mexico in December, and it's pretty exciting.
How different did you see, your program from the other programs that people were leading at the conference you went to?
There's a lot of differences. The main conference was more on the Farm to Institute. So there was a lot of different levels of folks, whether they were working with prison systems or other educational or restaurants and things
or
like
hospitals.
That. Or hospitals.
Yep.
Yes. And things. A lot of the barriers are different just on the districts, too, where we have universal free meals here in Massachusetts. And so our program is much different. What I did find is a lot of people just trying to, what I always say, eat the whale all at one sitting. I once had a mentor that shared that. They always tell me, you can't eat the whale in one sitting.
I don't know if that's allowed in Massachusetts farm school at this point.
Local fish.
400 years ago? I think maybe.
But just doing the tiny things and making a bigger impact. And so just kind of talking with them about how to do those little things and wait for the bigger change over time. But, yeah, I'm excited because everybody in the nation that has an opportunity to go to this conference will have so many chances to really learn from them as well about the differences.
Well, there might not be local whale on the menu in Massachusetts schools. There's certainly local haddock or fluke, or monkfish that are hitting school lunch trays.
Yay for monkfish in schools. Yeah. That's awesome.
Claire Morneau from CESA.
I want to ask about barriers. I feel like school lunch kind of has a bad reputation, and I think that is because a lot of the school food that maybe our generation grew up on. And I think it's useful for people to understand some of the constraints that school feeding programs are working within. Budgets, sometimes infrastructure, even the nutritional requirements can be something to work around. I'm curious to have either or both of you speak around some of the challenges.
You mean it wasn't just bad because we had a president who thought that ketchup was a vegetable?
Well, and so ketchup is no longer a vegetable under USDA rules, which we are very happy about.
That no longer should not have ever needed to be a part of this sentence.
Exactly.
Well, and, change takes time. Big shout out to Michelle Obama and the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, because when that passed in 2010, that really set a lot of wheels in motion that have allowed things like ketchup no longer to be a vegetable, the farm to school grants to exist, and the community eligibility provision, which allowed high need districts to get universal free meals, then tip the scales to allow Massachusetts to believe in the importance of universal free meals for all.
Yeah. But what about Claire's question there, Mistel?
Yes.
Northampton Public Schools, the nutrition director there?
So actually, in Northampton, I was constantly receiving feedback from parents asking these questions. Why aren't you doing this? Why don't we see this? And so we actually launched 2 years ago a program called Reveal the Meal. And it just kind of is an informational. So we started setting up booths at all sorts of conferences and things like that, just talking about school meals and who
back
makes
to school
decisions.
Night,
yeah,
at the
open house bus
kindergarten registration.
Training. We're everywhere and giving away our swag and snacks where we always have our Fresh Hampton hummus, just so that folks will come over and talk to us and we can tell them and let them know. The biggest barrier is reimbursement. We are reimbursed for each lunch that we're served just under $5. That has to cover the cost of all of the food items that are required under the components for USDA, as well as the labor to prepare said food, the paper, the equipment repair, all of those things fall under that $4.73 or 74 cents to be exact. And the same thing for breakfast and snack. They each have their own reimbursement, and you really have to work to make sure you're meeting it underneath that, because you also want to pay a fair wage to your employees who are preparing those meals. It's also the time frame. A lot of individuals don't realize that our staff are coming in the morning and making breakfast for 200 students, and an hour and a half later, they're feeding lunch to said 200 students. And so it's a very quick turnaround. The from scratch has to be a particular item. It can't be the whole entire meal due to that time frame. And so those are really some of the bigger barriers, because then you're looking to get some more, convenient type food. Our pizza will be a frozen pizza, but it's whole grain, low sodium, and low fat. We're not making that from scratch. It's a favorite.
And facilities. Some in Massachusetts, many of our school buildings are older, and they were not necessarily built at a time when school lunch was happening. So sometimes your kitchens are really maybe in the hallway, not in Northampton Public Schools. They have kitchens and cafeterias, but they were maybe built at a time when, okay, some kids were eating school lunch, but not most kids eating school lunch, and certainly not breakfast. So even when you're thinking about the infrastructure of being able to add another walk-in refrigerator or a stand-up freezer, in some of our buildings, their electrical loads may or may not be able to handle that. And so we have seen with some of the state investment, like the food insecurity infrastructure grant that's gone to help schools build more robust kitchens or add transportation, that some of the facility upgrades that they'd like to do in order to buy more local foods or make more more scratch cooking can really be a barrier to allowing them to just have the facilities and the storage that are needed.
And that's kind of also where that Northeast Food for Schools funding, the local food incentives, was so detrimental, is that it actually was the first time we were allotted funds to buy food and keep it local and see the nutritional quality increase and it be foods our students really enjoyed without impacting that reimbursement dollar. And so it was very valuable.
And it is now currently gone, and I wonder how long it will be before it comes back, if ever, as with so many of these things that have gone by the wayside from the federal government, including Corporation for Public Broadcasting money, as we've mentioned many times, funds for SNAP, funds for the food banks. Meanwhile, we do have a robust infrastructure and community in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and Massachusetts is celebrating Farm to School Month this month.
If folks want to get involved, they can certainly go to massfarmtoschool.org to find out more. We offer a program called Harvest of the Month, both for educators and for school nutrition programs. So if there are any educators listening and they want to receive a monthly newsletter to their inbox and learn about different crops that they could teach their students about, be it history, weaving it into their history lessons, science, or math, we're happy to have you sign up online at massfarmtoschool.org.
And that's Abby Getman-Skillicorn, who's the Special Projects Manager at Massachusetts Farm to School. And we've been joined by Ms. Stell Hanna, who's the School Nutrition Director from the Northampton Public Schools, and Claire Morneau from CESA, the local hero folks who are helping to support lots of our local farms in the 413. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Back to the ground-up pea falafel.
That's right. And if folks are looking for, you're hearing, wow, Northampton's doing this awesome work, and you want to hear or learn about what your school nutrition departments are doing, all public school departments post their menus online, and they're required to have their food service department contact online. And so look for your student menus. Many of them are adding identifiers of what they're serving that's local. And at the very least, you can get contact information to learn how you can support your nutrition departments, which first and foremost, it's getting the students to eat meals.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Estelle, from your perspective in the schools, how would you encourage people to
have your students eat school meals? That is the best way to make an impact in the school nutrition program.
No more brown bag.
That's also fine, but they're free, so engage.
Yeah, you can have both.